Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Vegan Proteins Muscles by Brussels Radio. My name is Danny.
And I'm Giacomo.
And this is our 69th episode. Right. Well, welcome back, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode. This has been a whirlwind of a few weeks, a month or two, really, between launching the Vegan Strong Box, which I can't even remember if we talked about on here or not.
Me neither. Actually, I think we didn't.
Well, we'll mention it. And launching the Overhaul Program, which we did talk about on the last podcast. It has been insane around here,
to say the least.
So thank you guys so much for the support with the overhaul program, the 28-day overhaul. We had so many signups that it bordered on overwhelming, I would say. Overwhelmingly positive, but it was a shocking amount of people.
I've been saying it's the win that we all needed. One way or another, we have to close out this year on a high note, I feel. And the 28-day overhaul was our way of saying, hey, this is basically something that is right at your fingertips, that you have access to, that will serve you well no matter what's going on, right? Whether you're in the middle of a pandemic or whether just something random and chaotic happens in your life, in 28 days, you can basically level up and give yourself a win, essentially.
And get yourself back on track. And that's been going really well for a lot of people. So many people are starting it this week, which is super cool. And the Vegan Strong Box, well, I guess we'll tell you what that is. So you guys know Vegan Strong, we used to go out to all of these expos and teach people about how to adopt a more vegan lifestyle. And I'm talking about like expos like the Arnold, the Olympia, probably the biggest meat eating demographic in the world are bodybuilders, I would say, or people who eat the most meat per person. But we can't do that anymore. So we are trying to find new ways of doing outreach. And we created this monthly box full of, like, packed with vegan food, snacks, sports supplements, drinks. And it's like $150 worth of stuff. And we are shipping them for $49.99 with free shipping. And when I say we, I mean Vegan Strong as an entity is doing this, which is super cool. It's a not-for-profit group. But when I say we, I also mean Giacomo and I are the ones shipping them out. So it's just been crazy around here.
From a time management standpoint, it's been awfully crazy. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't enjoying it. I'd probably be enjoying it more if I didn't feel so overwhelmed, but I'm also thankful for what we're able to do and grateful for this particular opportunity to serve the community. Personally, this reminds me of when we had just started out with vegan proteins and we were a supplement shop. It started as a labor of love. Till this day, I still feel like what we do is a labor of love. It's just that we're doing more these days and we're doing things a little bit differently.
You make it sound like we were a supplement shop like 10 years ago, like we didn't just close the supplement shop 2 years ago.
It was more than two. It was more
like... No, it was 2 years ago. It was in January of 2018.
It feels like another world, honestly.
I guess it's almost 3 years. But yeah, we were a supplement shop for a really long time. Long before we exclusively did coaching, we were a supplement shop. The only vegan supplement shop in the world at that point, actually. It does kind of feel like that, like packaging up orders and shipping them out again. It's fun. It's a different... You can kind of get to turn your brain off a little bit when you do it, which if you guys know me, I desperately need a little brain turning off from time to time. Anything else happened in the last 2 weeks that is interesting?
Yeah, call me a sucker for outdoorsy kinds of things, even if it means just taking care of the house, but I have had a lot of fun these past 2 weeks picking up leaves, as silly as that sounds. Because for me, I grew up in New York City, where the only thing that you did was maybe hose down the sidewalks and... Which in and of itself, when I think about it now, is like, why would anyone bleach and hose down sidewalks?
Wait,
like,
what? People bleach their sidewalks in New York City?
Yeah.
Bleach the sidewalk.
Well, sure. And then you gotta, like, let the bleach seep in and you just gotta push it into the drain.
That sounds like a logical use of one's time.
One might say. So that's what I grew up accustomed to seeing. And it was like, okay, well, we live in a concrete world and we're going to make sure to keep that concrete world as clean as possible. The concept of the ground and land with lots of grass and leaves on said land never really occurred to me. Not even in the parks, honestly. I never saw stuff like that growing up. Picking up leaves, well, it was something that took a long time and it's a little backbreaking because we have a big yard here. It was fun. I had a good time. And then we got to our niece and nephew in on it the week before, which we didn't get too much accomplished, but it was a good time.
You guys can't see me, but I'm looking at Giacomo like he's an alien right now. Leaf blowing, not fun. Not collecting leaves, not a good time. In fact, if we owned this place, we were having this conversation the other day, if we owned this place and didn't rent it, I would never rake a leaf ever because I think it is just one of the silliest things that you can do. Leaves are really good for the ground. They're supposed to be there. It's part of the ecosystem. Ah, I'm sure our neighbors would hate us, but we rent and the landlords drive by and they want to see them leaves rake. So today's topic we came up with from so many of you guys coming and joining the Facebook group, Muscles by Brussels, which if you're not a part of it, you should come join. When you ask to join, it asks you a few questions like, where did you hear about this? And what is your biggest struggle with fitness or nutrition? And I have a list of hundreds of people's answers so that I can look at it and, you know, try to find content that I can make that would be the most helpful to people. And a word that comes up more than any other word in the entire list is consistency. Consistency seems to be people's number one struggle on the whole. We are gonna do our damnedest to talk about that today.
Now, I feel like we've been using the word consistency an awful lot lately. I feel like we've been talking about balance and sustainability and consistency and really drilling those points home. I don't want to get too hung up on the words because I feel like they lose their meaning, they lose their weight. And I want to start to talk about this concept of consistency a little more because otherwise it's just one of those things where it's like, do the thing, but like, what does it even mean? Like, everyone knows you have to go to sleep, wake up, and get stuff done during the day and you need to get better at it. But okay, so rather than just shouting the word consistency from the top of a mountain to the extent that it might lose its meaning, why don't we start to explain the concept? What is it? Consistency, when I think about this, I think about what it takes to create a foundation that cannot be broken and how to do it. Consistency is all about making it so that there are some things in your life that you can't not do, even if you have to step away from them for a while, even if you have to step away from the majority of your priorities to be consistent for fitness, there are some things that you will still hold on to. That's how I view consistency.
Okay, so to me, it's just doing the work every day. That's consistency. To me, what you just said sounds more like discipline, motivation, and the thing about consistency is whatever it is that's inspiring you to be consistent, it doesn't matter. It's just about doing the work every day because what you do once in a while is not what gets you results. It's not what changes your life. It doesn't change the trajectory of your life 1% to do something, you know, to eat one salad in a month. That does nothing for you. But if you make it a point to eat vegetables every day in a year, in 2 years, in 3 years, you will be different for it because you were consistently eating vegetables. And that's just an example. And obviously we're talking in terms of health and fitness and nutrition, but this can be applied to anything. And I think that everybody has some area of their life where they struggle with consistency. Just because we maybe have this one little corner of our life figured out doesn't mean that we're consistent in every single thing that we want to do or be better at. So I guess take that for what you will. We could sit here and have an entire podcast where we tell you guys why it's so important to be consistent, but like, I feel like we've done that. We've done that 1,000 times. People understand why it's important to be consistent. They do understand the concept that you have to do the work on a very, very regular basis in order to get results. You can know that and still struggle to actually do it. And that, I think, is a really hard thing to talk about. about. How do you help somebody to be more consistent without just explaining to them why they should be? That's kind of what I want to talk about today. And I actually happen to think it's a little bit of an intimidating topic, which sounds kind of funny given some of the topics we've tackled in the past. But to me, how do you do the damn thing? That's a hard conversation.
I think that people commit and commit to changing themselves. And sometimes I feel like we can overshoot. Not to say that it isn't possible to have that kind of mentality.
Like where you change a million things all at once?
Mm-hmm. Not to say that that doesn't work, because it does. And not to say it doesn't work long term, because it does.
Well, but it can.
Correct.
Not it does, because we've seen for a bajillion people, it doesn't. But for 1 in 100, maybe it works really, really well.
Right. And even like probabilities aside, there's a more practical approach that doesn't necessarily give you that endorphin rush out the gate, like, ooh, I'm going to make this big change. It doesn't feel necessarily real in the moment, but it's something that when you know it, you know it. Like, you're ready to start evaluating your life and turning things around, but you're ready to do it in a way that involves you being honest with yourself and saying, okay, this is the way I live right now. That's okay. And I'm going to start making changes based on the way that I live right now. Little small changes over time, as opposed to saying I'm doing things the wrong way and I need to change. For example, if you're, let's say you're drinking soda every single day and you know that you don't want to be drinking soda anymore. You know you don't want to. So you decide to just stop drinking soda. It might work. It might backfire. And if it backfires, you're doubling down with uncomfortable emotions that you can accept and take responsibility for. However, like any other human out there, those kinds of emotions are going to create a new layer of challenge for you and make it harder to plan for the future. That's how I see things when I work with someone one-on-one. Alternatively, you can look at the fact that you're drinking soda on the regular and say, okay, I don't want to be drinking soda going forward, but I know that that's probably not the smartest option out the gate. Why don't I commit to drinking less soda 3 times a week, or only on the weekends, or not anymore, but if I choose to have soda here and there, it's okay. And you do something like that and you turn around and 3, 4, 5 weeks later, you feel comfortable being more balanced. You don't have this taboo, restricted feeling about drinking soda. And before you know it, you're able to continue to make improvements. And then you take that example as one small part of your plan and you start to apply that principle to other things that you're doing.
Well, you brought up a good point about when you set a goal that seems extreme to you, and it doesn't matter what the goal is, or I mean, what is extreme objectively. If it feels like, oh man, that's going to be a tough thing for me to do, then it probably is an extreme goal for yourself at that point. If you set that goal and then you fail, you mention all these uncomfortable feelings. And I think that that is largely overlooked. Every time you say you're gonna do something, whether to yourself or someone else, you don't even need to say it out loud. When you say or promise yourself you're gonna do something and then you don't do it, you literally chip away at your confidence in yourself. You chip away at your self-esteem. You chip away at your trust in yourself. Like, shoot, if you can't even trust yourself, why bother? But on the flip side of that, I have found that anytime you say you're going to do something and you do it, it has the exact opposite effect, where your self-confidence, your self-trust, it builds on itself, it compounds on itself, and you start to become a person that you can believe, a person who does what they say they're gonna do. It is a very empowering feeling. I mean, I know I've been that person when it comes to health and fitness, and where I've been like, oh, I'm gonna start on Monday, and then Monday comes, and then I just don't. Then I'm gonna start on Monday, starts to lose its weight. It starts to lose its meaning or its power, because I can say, I'm gonna start on Monday, or I'm not gonna get this particular pint of ice cream, or I'm gonna, you know, it doesn't mean anything eventually. You're saying it and it doesn't even mean anything, because you know it doesn't mean anything. That is a really crappy feeling. It's a really crappy feeling whether you acknowledge it or not, when, oh, I'll just start the next day, when that literally becomes a joke. And I mean, literally, sometimes people, they say it and they laugh about it, because even as they're saying it, they know it's not true. It's a very low place to be starting from. So to your point about making small changes, I feel like that is crucial to consistency. consistency. Too many people set really big goals all at the same time. They think they're just gonna pull a 180 on their entire life overnight and everything's gonna change. Whereas if they had just said something like, I'm gonna make sure half of my plate is vegetables at dinner every night, that might be a promise they can keep to themselves and build that confidence up a little bit so that when it comes to like the big ones, I'm gonna stick to my macros every day. I'm gonna go to the gym 5 days a week. They have the confidence at that point to be able to say it and know that they're gonna follow through with it as much as humanly possible.
I think this moves the conversation in a direction where it's not about the things that you're building momentum with, and it's more about the mindset of the person who continues to work towards consistency. Because there are things that will work for you right now that you become consistent with, and a year later, they might not work for you. 6 months later, they might not work for you. Now we're getting along the lines of discipline and being task-oriented. And when you do things like that and those hold value in your life, like I ate my vegetables at night and now I'm not eating my vegetables at night, then you start to blame yourself. And when you can't blame yourself, then you start to blame your environment. And when you can't blame your environment, you just become apathetic. These are the kinds of things that I struggle with personally when it comes to finding my happy place long-term. So I start to think about consistency in terms of nothing in life stays the same. Some things we are in control of, some things we're not. Bottom line is, though, we can apply this methodology to what we're doing even without a plan. And it sounds kind of silly to say it's like self-love and self-care. I think it's a little bit of that. But more than anything, like Danny said, to get back to the beginning of this conversation, it really does boil down to doing the damn thing.
Right. And how do you explain to people how to do that? There's lots of practical tips that we could give to people. And we do. We give practical, like literal things you can do. Like you can get up from your chair and go do this thing right now. And I love those kinds of tips. I think they're wildly helpful. But there's also a bigger, grayer area, literally a gray area, because it happens in your brain. And I can't say, okay, just go into your brain and rewire this here and that there and boom, it'll all be easy. It's really a shift in the way that you think about things that allows you to develop consistency in conjunction with all those other little tips, right? It's a way of shifting your the way you're thinking about the situation. If you have a pattern of inconsistency, you look back at your life and you just see all of these times you've started and stopped and started and stopped and started and stopped, you may very well, whether you acknowledge it or not, believe you are a person who cannot be consistent. And if you believe you are a person who cannot be consistent, you're not going to be consistent. So that's why making those little promises to yourself, if you're basically starting from zero, if your core belief is that you're somebody that can't follow through or be trusted to do what she says she's gonna do, then you need to start making little promises to yourself. I will take my vitamins in the morning. I will start my day off with a glass of water. Set the bar lower. Set the bar lower. If you can't say to yourself, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident am I that I can actually do that? If you're not saying like an 8, a 9, or a 10, you need to lower that bar. You need to be almost certain that it's something that you can actually follow through with. And over time, you build that confidence back up and you actually will start to believe that you are a person who can be consistent. And eventually those little goals, you know, I'm going to drink water, turns into a much bigger goal, a harder goal. I'm gonna run a half a marathon and I'm gonna train for a half a marathon, and you start to believe that you actually can do it. It's a very hard thing to explain. It's not an easy thing to do. It takes a long time, but you can absolutely do it. And to me, it's a series of small wins on top of each other.
So what I believe we're really talking about here is that no plan works long term. It's really how you approach said plan.
Yeah, totally. Being flexible is so important. I mean, Giacomo can, well, we both do this. I will eat the same damn thing every day for 6 months. And then one day I'll wake up and I'll just be like, you know what? I hate that meal. I just remembered that I don't like that meal at all, and I don't want to see it again for another year. And Giacomo was like, wait, but what? You just ate that every day for like almost 200 days. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't want to eat it anymore. I want to eat something else. And my plan adapts. There have been times where I haven't had my first meal of the day until noon. There are other periods where I feel like I need to eat at 8 o'clock in the morning, right when I wake up. It shifts. It changes. My routine changes literally with the season, but the core principles don't change. Those are always the same. One might, at first glance, say, oh, Dani is inconsistent with the way that she eats. But if you knew the principles, the reason why I was doing certain things that I was doing, you would see that it's actually very, very consistent. But it's a little nuanced there, I think. Maybe too much for this conversation.
Perhaps.
I have so much more to say.
Keep going.
What, Dani? You have more to say? No, go on. No, really. Accountability. Accountability, when trying to build consistency, is everything. It is so important because even when you don't yet trust yourself, we as human beings are wired to not want to let other people down. Back in caveman days, if people didn't like you and they kicked you out of the tribe, you were gonna die. So our brains are hardwired to sort of seek approval from other people. I'm not saying that's good or bad. I'm just saying that's how most of us operate on a subliminal level.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many ways that you can find accountability. You could have a coach, of course. That's one of the biggest things that we do in our job is literally just we are there to hold people accountable every single week. But you don't need a coach to do that. You can find it in a Facebook group. You can find it in a coworker or a family member or anybody. They don't even have to be on the same path as you. Although if they are, that's cool too. But like, hey, friend, will you hold me accountable to not eating donuts in the break room? Touch base about it on a regular basis, because if you didn't eat donuts in the break room, you get to say, hey, high five, didn't eat donuts in the break room. And if you did, then you have to tell somebody that, and it's uncomfortable and it's a little bit embarrassing, and you have to explain why. And when you explain why, a lot of times you realize that your reason is a little bit silly, because when we are the only thing holding ourselves accountable, we let a lot of BS slide. We are terrible at self-analyzation in terms of like, I just don't feel like it today, and I have now rationalized that that's a good enough reason for me to have a donut in the break room. And then when you have to go say that to somebody else, like, oh, well, why did you have a donut? Because I just didn't feel like not having a donut. Like, you don't like to say it. So I think accountability can be really, really, really important. Really, really helpful. If you have a gym partner, I know everything's weird right now, but if you had a gym partner that you were going to meet on this day, and this day and work out with, you don't want to bail. You don't want to leave your friend hanging. You're way more likely to show up.
I agree with the point that accountability is helpful and that accountability partners are helpful. But I also think that you need to be careful when you put something like that out there, because sometimes it gets personal and it shouldn't, but that is just like the nature of being human. I think if you take it for what it's worth and you find someone you can trust, then you can do that. But at the end of the day, it's not their responsibility to hold you truly accountable. It's yours.
Totally. I agree. And I think personal responsibility is big. And honestly, I don't know if you and I talk about that on this podcast enough. We talk to our clients about it frequently, but like so many of the people who come through our door, they've been doing too much for too long, and they're eating too little and doing too much cardio, and you know, they're terrified of food. And we spend a lot of time saying like, chill out, chill out, chill out. Like, you're doing too much. Not everybody is doing too much. There's plenty of people in this world that aren't doing enough. Taking like inventory of what you're doing, and then taking personal responsibility for the choices that you're making. Whether it's a choice to have an extra serving of dessert or a choice to completely skip your workout like multiple days in a row. I understand that people have reasons for doing this, but it's still a choice. Giacomo and I, we do this all the time. Giacomo will be like, he'll be, you know, upset about something and be like, blah, blah, blah. Well, I don't have a choice. And I'm like, no, you always have a choice. And it gets under his skin so quickly. But it's true, even when it seems like you don't have a choice, we do always have a choice. And sometimes you have to choose to abandon a goal because something else really is more important, and that's a decision that only you can make, but it's still your choice, right? And I think having to take responsibility for that is, it's big and it's hard, and you have to step back and look at a lot of things about yourself that you might not like, and it's real uncomfortable. Yeah, personal responsibility. It's a tough one. I'm sorry, I could just keep talking, and I feel like I'm talking so much more than you.
Well, I want to make sure to listen to what you're saying, because you're making a lot of nice points here. I feel like we're talking a little bit about our ego here and how we have to keep it put together, right? We can separate ourselves from our ego and we can let other people in. And I think it's really important to do that. I don't feel like we're anywhere nearly vulnerable enough with one another to be able to become better humans. And I think a part of that has been lost. And I think it's gotten even worse this year because of distancing and isolating. That being said, I think it's important to stay grounded and remind oneself that our ego is not just what keeps us afloat, it's what keeps us anchored and grounded, and we can nurture that thing and we can continue to create good habits and a nice routine for ourselves. And when we find out that there are things that we don't like that we're doing, when we put it out there and it comes back to haunt us and reminds us that we're not doing it, we don't have to feel unnecessarily guilty about that. We just have to take a look at ourselves, do a little bit of work. We don't have to necessarily start soul searching and just be like, all right, how do I change this thing? How do I stop eating chocolate chips every day, Giacomo? Like, stop doing that. Just stop doing it. There's no reason for it. It's been a year of chocolate chips and you don't feel any better about it. There's no more emotionality about this.
He's talking to himself now, guys.
Exactly. So this is like self to self. I turn around, it's like no more. And sometimes it takes a little while to get there, and it can always be just that one thing, but there's no reason to not pick apart your life a couple times a year, whether it's by journaling, whether it's talking it out with someone else, whether it's just thinking about it. And then as you're doing that, and after you're doing that, you have to make those changes and you have to get consistent with them.
Yeah, you bring up the ego, and you know, I was just talking about how hard it is to be responsible for your own actions sometimes, and the ego has a huge amount to do with it. We don't like to feel bad. We don't like to feel bad for what we're doing or what we're not doing or who we are. And I think because of that, because we don't like to feel bad and because we are unsure, like, say I'm gonna do this, but like, am I gonna do it? We do this friggin' dance where we're half in and half out on a goal, and it's like we haven't actually committed to doing anything. And I understand why people do this. Guys, please, I'm not preaching. Like, I do this in other areas of my life so badly because we are, one, afraid of letting ourselves down. If I fully commit to this thing and then I don't do it, I got nobody to face but myself. And that is gonna suck. There's that reason why we don't commit. So we're afraid of failure. How many people are afraid of success? Like, oh my God, what if I do this and I'm like really good at it? What if I do this and I succeed? How is my life gonna be different if I succeed? We are afraid of that too. A lot of people are afraid of that too. So there's so many reasons why we don't fully commit, but it's very hard to expect yourself to be consistent if you can't get your brain to a place where you are all in on whatever goal it is you set. And again, that goal can be drinking a glass of water in the morning. Like, if you can't fully commit to drinking a glass of water in the morning, take a step back and think about that. If you're wishy-washy about like, can I consume 16 ounces of water in the morning or not? Like, you are the person who needs to set the bar really, really low and build up the wins.
Right, and setting the bar low doesn't mean that you are incapable or that you are not able to look back and see that you've accomplished lots of things in the past. It just means where you are at right now is a place that is not serving you. It's not helping you. It's not going to take you somewhere where you want to be. I think we can trust in ourselves long term while still having these times in our life, multiple times a year, honestly, where we're going to wind up breaking that pact with ourselves to trust ourselves. But as long as we're continuing to work on that path to prove to ourselves that we can trust ourselves to do the thing more and more in the future, well, it just gets better. it just gets better. And then those moments in time where we have a lapse in judgment, or we fall off, or we get lazy, or if there's a loop in our life that just like turns that we can't complete and get back to doing the thing, right? If we break, and regardless of the reasons, we still have that core part of ourselves that nothing and no one can take away from us, basically. I mean, am I being a little too flowery and
usually?
Well, I guess my thought process here is, just because you are an object in motion 100% of the time doesn't mean that all those times that you've built yourself up to be an object in motion don't count, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, and all this talk about consistency, it's like doing the same thing every day, but not necessarily. Like, there will be days you can't do something. The worst thing you could do is completely abandon the goal because you screwed up one day or something happened and you couldn't get your 10,000 steps in that day. The worst thing you could do would be like, well, I blew it. Just gonna keep blowing it. Get back at it as quickly as you humanly possibly can. James Clear says, don't let 2 days go by without doing a particular habit. And it's true. Bad habits get built like overnight, it seems. Good habits seem to take forever to build. Bad habits take forever to break. But man, do bad habits take like a split second to be made. If you do fall off of whatever it is you're trying to do for one day, just do it the next day. Just do it the very, very next day, and consider that being consistent. That is being consistent. If you fall off and you can get back on the next day, that is consistency.
And if you can't get back the next day, for whatever reason, you still know that you can when you're able to, essentially. And you focus on what you can do, right? I find that there is just no reason to completely fall off the face of the earth when it comes to your health. If you have that mindset where you care about yourself and you're willing to put the work in, any kind of work that is possible that you can put in, you're willing to put it in. Even when it's hard, even when it hurts, even when it doesn't make sense and it doesn't feel right, you still can do it.
I'll tell you a funny habit that I made that has nothing to do with nutrition or training. But, you know, I said everybody struggles with some area of their life. Well, like 7 or 8 years ago, Giacomo and I were, our finances were a mess. They were a mess to the point like I didn't even want to confront it. You know when some part of your life is so bad, you're just like, yep, we're just not even going to look that way. The habit that I built that I needed to set so low because this beast was so enormous to me was, I am going to look at our bank accounts every morning. That was it. I am going to log in and I'm going to look. I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't writing anything down. I was just looking every day. And that was hard at that point. Over time, I was able to like get used to what I was seeing. I was able to make some systems. We were able to tackle it. And now not only have our finances completely turned around for like a bajillion reasons, but I spend probably 10 or 15 minutes doing them every single morning. And there has been not even one financial hiccup in any of our accounts in years. At this point, all from that one tiny little habit that I started doing a long, long time ago. I knew just tackling the whole thing was not going to work. That's just a different kind of an example, how little changes how strongly did I feel that I could do that on a daily basis? It was like a 9 or a 10. Yes, I can open my computer and look at this account. So I could commit to that, and I did, and over years, completely changed everything. That can be anything. That can be a goal as small as, I'm going to put on my running shoes every day. That's it. That little thing right there can be the change that over years, it's like you're like a different person. Because if these tiny little habits, these tiny little things that we're able to be consistent with, change the trajectory of our life just 1%, over time, that is a huge, huge difference. Way more than changing your life 100% overnight and then just absolutely falling off completely in 2 weeks.
Right. And whatever those habits are, that more often than not, I feel like they don't last forever. And sometimes when you fall off, you can't get back to the same habits, right?
Often. It's very hard once you fall off to get back to your good habits.
Yes, but what I'm getting at is more of the fact that they're good habits and they're not the habits themselves. Meaning sometimes your habits have to change. They have to change to suit your ever adapting, evolving, and changing lifestyle. And if you get too hung up on whatever said good habit is and you associate the fact that you can't do said habit anymore with negativity in your mind, then before you know it, you wind up creating your own downward spiral unintentionally. What I wind up doing is saying, okay, well, I can't get to this good habit anymore, but that doesn't mean that I am creating a bad habit by letting go of a good habit. It just means I have to find the next good habit to get to.
So if we could sum this up, the consistency, into like a couple of bullet points. One, set the bar low. Set the bar very, very low. Ask yourself if you can be consistent with it or not. And if you can, go for it. If you don't feel confident you can, set the bar lower until you can. Use these small habits to build wins, to help build confidence and trust in yourself, to help you become the person that does the thing they say they're gonna do. And if you have been, you know, saying you'll do something and not doing it for a long, long time, no, you're gonna have to start small and build up before you become a person who's very confident in their ability to do what they say they're gonna do. Find an accountability partner if you can, preferably someone you trust, but also take responsibility for your own process. It's very, very important. No one's gonna do it for you. You have to take responsibility for it yourself and be aware of the choices that you're making. And lastly, the most useless and helpful tip of all is just do the damn thing. All right, moving on to our question and answer segment. How do you do things in a structured way while also tuning into your body's natural cues?
Okay, this is a question that doesn't have specifics, but I like it. When I think about doing things in a structured way, I journal my life for 3 to 5 days, and I find out how I'm doing things. And once I find out how the life that I'm living is currently structured, I'm able to change it. That's the very first thing that I do. When I think about listening to my body's needs, I think about fatigue, managing fatigue as far as how I feel after training and how I'm recovering from it or not. And I also think about my hunger signals. And both of those things, I basically check in with myself and I remind myself, like, I don't have to be that person who just needs to go harder and harder. I also remind myself that while I have a structure, I also need to be mindful of what I'm doing more so than week to week, more so than month to month, what I'm doing year round. So I create structure for the month, essentially, but I also check in with myself as far as what I'm doing for the next 6 months and what I'm doing for the next year. And I sort of build the framework around that. And I also like to tune in with myself every, say, 3 to 6 weeks and say, how am I feeling? Am I recovering? Am I not recovering well? And am I able to manage this stress with the stress that I have in my life? Because if you're not balancing out your training stress and your diet stress with your environmental stress, if those things are out of balance, whether you like to admit it or not, that training stress and that diet stress will eventually collapse because you're just too unbalanced. And before you know it, you're in a place where you're moving backwards. So those are some of the things that I think about when it comes to being structured while also listening to my body. All right, Dan, I got a question for you. Can you talk more about the latest intermittent fasting research?
Hey, yeah. So this question was actually brought up in our private online coaching group. People wanted me to talk more about this. So there was a recent study done on intermittent fasting by lead researcher was Ethan Weiss. And basically they took two groups of people. They controlled for calories, meaning both groups of people were eating the same amount of calories, but one group was intermittent fasting and one group was not. Both groups were in a caloric deficit. And what he was hoping to prove was that intermittent fasting was superior for fat loss. That was the goal. Like, you know, there's no goal of a study, but that was his hypothesis when he went into it. As it turned out, both groups lost the same amount of weight, which in my opinion is 100% to be expected when calories are equated. Again, there's nothing special about intermittent fasting. If you're in a 500 calorie deficit, It's a 500 calorie deficit, whether you eat it in 6 hours or 16 hours. The interesting thing was that the group doing intermittent fasting lost significantly more lean body mass than the non-intermittent fasting group. So the intermittent fasting group lost more muscle. It's worth noting that this group, not only were they intermittent fasting, but they were training fasted. And I think that is the key thing here. Perhaps if they had trained in the middle of their feeding window, these results would have been different. But with them training fasted and not eating their first meal until afterwards, they lost significantly more muscle. And also, the intermittent fasting group spontaneously decreased their activity. So NEAT, you've heard us talk about NEAT a lot, non-activity exercise thermogenesis. It's just how much you move. It's how much you fidget. It's how much you move your body without even thinking about it. The intermittent fasting group, their NEAT dropped significantly as opposed to the non-intermittent fasting group where they were just as active. So even though they were both in the same deficit, not only did the intermittent fasting group lose more muscle, but they also likely closed that deficit up over time by simply moving less. Why do I think this happened? I think it's because if you're training in a fasted state, your body needs calories. It needs energy in order to do those workouts. And yes, wouldn't we love it if they just pulled it from our fat stores? And your body can, but it can also pull it from your muscle tissue as well. It can break down whatever tissue it wants to in order to extract energy from your body so that you can do the workout. And it appears as though it did break down muscle tissue to do this. And also going extended periods without eating, which I don't remember the exact fasting window here. I don't remember it off the top of my head, but you know, I'll assume it was more than 12 hours without eating. People just were a little bit lazier. In general. Really, really interesting stuff. In terms of fat loss, though, we can absolutely say that intermittent fasting is not superior to non-intermittent fasting style of eating. And it appears as though training fasted is almost definitely a way to potentially lose muscle mass in a deficit more so than training in a fed state while also in that same deficit. So interesting stuff.
All right, everybody, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Vegan Protein's Muscles by Brussels Radio. Feel free to stay in touch with us. Shoot us an email, veganproteins@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, anywhere at Muscles by Brussels and at Vegan Proteins.
And come join our Facebook group, Muscles by Brussels Radio.
Yeah. Once again, my name is Giacomo.
And I'm Danny.
And we'll talk to you soon.